today, actually, if I'm hearing the Lord correctly, and I think I am, this next year we're going to be talking about the parables of Jesus. We need to see things from God's perspective. A lot of times we look at things from our own perspective, and the Lord wants to see things from His perspective. He wants to get us a heavenly vision rather than an earthly knowledge about the things that are dear to His heart. And so, I'll share that. So next week, I'm going to give away some money. I'll be preaching on a parable about the talents. So I'm going to be giving away some money. So you don't want to miss next week. So, today we're going to be looking at a parable about a light. And we're going to begin reading the passage of Scripture found in Matthew chapter 5. We're going to read verses 14 through 16. So as we begin, would you read this with me? Let's stand together and read this, if you would. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Would you reach across the aisle or hold hands of the person next to you? And let's just go before the Father. And there are some specific requests perhaps that you have. Would you let Him in your heart know that? And also pray for the person on both sides of you. If you don't know their name, you might want to ask them. Father, I thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing. And Lord, I just pray that you'd be with Sam. God, be with this congregation that we may hear your voice and be able to respond to you. And God, it's all about you today. And I just pray that you would be magnified and glorified in the things that we do, the things that we say. Lord, open our hearts to be able to receive what you have for us. We give you praise and glory and honor. Father, we do thank you for today. Thank you for what you have in store for us. Lord, may we not miss it. Let's not go away from here the same as we came. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, every time I read this passage of Scripture, I think of the song, "This Little Light of Mine." And so, before we go any further, we've got to sing this song. Okay? So, Tom, you're going to help us out. We've got a couple of helpers that are going to help me out this morning. They
know this very well. And so, can I use one of these microphones?
Yes.
I'm gonna let it shine.
singing that as a kid.
Yeah. Did you know that came out of Scripture? That's actually a Scripture song. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. So who was Jesus talking to? If you read in the end of chapter 4 of Matthew and the beginning of chapter 5, it says that there were multitudes from Judea, from beyond Jordan, from Galilee, Decapolis, and other places who came up to hear Jesus. And he preached the Sermon on the Mount. We're familiar with that. Blessed are those who do this and that. And then he begins talking to them about the salt and then the light. And he's looking at this multitude and he says, "You are the light of the world." Now this was probably a new concept to all of them because a lot of them just came from fishing villages. A lot of the disciples were fishermen. They were not the most educated. They were not the most influential. They were not the most muscular. They may not have had it all together. Jesus looks at them and he says, "If you're a follower of me, you are the light of the world." And Greek scholars tell us that that word "you" is emphatic. And what it means is that it's you and only you who are the light of the world. No one else, you and only you are the light of the world. So here's the deal. If you are a follower of Christ, if you've ever received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, if you've ever invited Him, put your trust in Him, I'm not saying just pray a prayer. I'm not saying just being baptized. What I'm saying is if you've ever given your heart to Him, you are the light of the world. Now, I want you to turn to your neighbor and tell them you are the light of the world. Now I want you to tell them, "I am the light of the world." Tell them again. Doesn't that make you feel kind of brighter? Knowing that you're the light of the world. Isn't it marvelous that Jesus says to you that you are the light of the world? I don't know if this happened to everybody, but I remember prior to me coming to know Christ, and I remember coming to know Christ, and I remember I was in the kitchen in Southwest Portland when I received Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. And don't tell anybody, but I was in the ministry at the time. Okay? I was in the ministry before I met Christ. Isn't that messed up? But when I met Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, it was almost like things got brighter. I could see colors more vividly, it seems. And I'm thinking, man, this is awesome. And I don't know if that was your experience or that was my experience. It was like I could see things differently. Everything looked brighter. When a person comes out of darkness into the light, things happen. Things are transformed in your life. Jesus is the light of the world. But he also says, you, if you are my follower, then you also are the light of the world. That's a crazy concept, isn't it? So, The points today are very easy. The first one is, who is the light of the world? The second one is, how are we the light of the world? And the third one is, why? Who, how, and why? And I think we've already answered who is the light of the world. So who is the light of the world? Say, I am the light of the world. Say it again. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? If you've received Christ, you are the light of the world. That's what Jesus said. So how? How do I let my little light shine? We sang that song, Let My Little Light Shine. Shine all around the world. We didn't sing that verse. Shine, let it shine all around Tillamook. Let it shine all around the world. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. So how do we shine? The scripture says we let it. We let it shine. It's kind of like, let's just say you're running out of gas. And you've run out of gas and you're going downhill. You kind of let it coast to a service station. You just let it. You don't put any brakes on. You don't, you know, you're hoping somebody will come along and help you out. But you let it coast as far as you can. Years ago, I went with a bunch of elderly preachers and some others to a prayer conference in California. And I went with some pastors from Lincoln City. And for some reason, the pastor did not fill the van with gas. And we got on Highway 22, leaving Lincoln City and going up that way to get on I-5. And we ran out of gas. At the time, I was the youngest preacher, the youngest person going on this trip. Guess who had to get the gas? I'm sure I tried to hitchhike, but nobody picked me up. And I had to walk quite a distance to get the gas. Nobody likes running out of gas. Did you know that as Christians we can run out of gas sometimes? And that our light doesn't shine as brightly as it ought to shine? How? Scripture says all we have to do for our light to shine is let it. Just let it shine. The only reason it doesn't shine is because there's something that's hindering it. Scripture says don't hide it under a bushel or a basket. Do you know what a bushel is? If you grew up on a farm, you probably know what a bushel is. It's a large container that you put vegetables in, take it to the market or whatever. Take it home. So you've got these bushel baskets, probably about that big around. He said, don't hide your light. You've got light if you're a Christian. You have light. And the only reason people can't see our light is if we're hiding it in some way. He says, let it shine. Take the container off. Take the basket off so that you can let it shine. This passage of Scripture says that if you've got a light, you don't put it under a basket, but you put it on a lampstand so that everyone in the house can see what's going on. What good is it if you have a light on and you don't let anybody see the light? That's a weird idea. I'm going to turn this light on and then I'm going to put a bucket over it. So we can't hide it. This passage of Scripture in Matthew 10, 32, it gives us an indication sometimes of how our light is hidden. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. So why would a Christian hide their light? So that no one could see the light that's in them. Because the light is there. Jesus said, you are the light. You can't turn it off. But you can hide it. So why would a Christian hide the light that is within them? You know, I'll tell you some of the reasons I've hidden my light. One of them is fear. Fear of what people may say. Fear of rejection. Fear of what people may think. I've hidden my light. Another reason Christians may hide their light is that life gets busy. I think sometimes I've pondered over my day at times, me and the Lord pondering over our day, and I've missed opportunities to share Christ with someone, to share the light because I'm busy. I've got my agenda. And I've got things on my mind and I'm doing my own thing. And then I'm thinking, man, God brought that person into my space and God brought that person into my space and I didn't shine. Did you know that God brings people into your sphere of influence without you even knowing it or wanting it sometimes? And usually it's when we're having a bad day that somebody comes up and it's like, oh man, where's my light? Where's my light? I can't find my light. I never ever want to get too busy again. That my light is not projected to a lost and dying world. I never, ever want to go there again. If you have a prayer for me, that could be one of the prayers that you pray for me. That my agenda would be His agenda. Not my own. Also, I wonder sometimes if the reason we don't let our light shine is because we don't have a concern for people. I just don't care. I don't know how you can be a child of God and not care about an individual who's lost and dying and going to hell. I don't know how that works in a person's life. Do you remember when you came to know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? And you remember the excitement and you're thinking, man, I wish everybody had this. You remember that? And then after a while, it just kind of goes away. Because our concern is no longer as important as it once was. Another reason, perhaps, we hide the light. Did you know that sin in a person's life, a Christian's life, will hide the light? So here's the best way to get rid of sin. Repent. Okay? You don't have to carry it with you. Oh man, I feel so guilty and I feel so ashamed and I feel so rotten because of what I've done and I don't know what I'm going to do because I just feel so rotten. Did you know that that could hide your light? So here's a novel idea. Ask God to forgive you. And you ask God to forgive you. He says, I forgive you and I wipe it away. I'll never remember it anymore. So let your light shine. Hallelujah. We can repent. We can get on good graces with God again. He will allow that light to shine. We don't have to walk in sin and guilt and shame and all that stuff. We can be free. We can be set free. And the Lord wants you set free. Not for your glory, but for His glory. You know, Scripture says that we are to do good works so that men, women, boys, girls can see our good works and bring glory to the Father. I think there's a plight for any. When things go good, who do you want to bring glory to? Normally ourselves. Oh, look what I did. Look at me. Look how wonderful I am. Every gift you have is a gift from God. Nothing that you can do or have done or will do will ever be of yourself. It'll be from God. And if anything, if I ever do anything good, it's because God did it through me. And if you ever do anything good, it's because God has done it through you, and you need to bring glory to Him, not glory to yourself. Did you know glorifying yourself can hide the light? So let's not, in 2020, let's not hide the light. In 2020, let's get rid of anything that's hiding the light. Why? So before I go to why, what is hindering your light from shining? What's hindering your light from shining? So why? Why should we let our light shine? Did you know that people are looking for the light? Years ago, I think it was like in 93 or 94, we had moved up here and we took our family to St. Helens, looking over St. Helens, and we were just kind of touring the area. And on the south side of St. Helens, we found what's called the Ape Caves. Have you heard of the Ape Caves? Well, so we went exploring. And the Ape Caves are caves that are actually made of lava tubes. And there's one branch that is 3 miles long underground. And we decided, let's do it. I don't know if they will let you go there now without some kind of something. Because when we went in there, so first thing, it was so dark. So very dark. That, I mean, you could not see anything. You couldn't see the fan in front of your face. It was the darkest place I had ever been. You talk 3 miles underground, you're like, it's dark. We did carry some flashlights, and I think I had a Coleman lantern, but even then it wasn't very bright. It was just like the darkness was just kind of eating up the light. And we would go, and you would have to climb over boulders. And you could shine your light down in these holes and you couldn't see the bottom. It was kind of dangerous, but it was fun. Had a great time. There would have been no way to get through there without light. There would have been no way. We got about halfway through and Crystal says, "I'm not going any further." Michael was like, "Ooh, let's go." Crystal just sat down. "I'm not going any further." It's like, what you going to do? You either go forward or you go backward. So finally, she decided she was going to go forward. And after 3 miles, and it takes a while to go 3 miles underground when you can't see very far. And by the end of the trip, we were so grateful to see a little bit of light coming down into that hole. We had never been so happy to see light in our lives. Coming out of those ape caves. Of Crystal, probably more than anyone. We were looking for the light in the dark. There's a lot of people who you know, family, friends, neighbors, people you come in contact with who are looking for the light because they're living in darkness. Jesus said, "You are the light." Did you know it's easy to shine yourself up and come to church? So you come to church and you get shined up, and look pretty bright. You come to church. But did you know he said, he did not say you're the light in the church. He said you're the light in the world. You are the light of the world. And the world is in darkness. And you are the only one that has a light. You're the only one. We have an obligation to the world and to the Lord that we not hide our light any longer. Many people living in darkness are looking for a way out. There are those who live in darkness and they like the darkness. And they will continue in darkness. There are many who feel like you, the Christians, are a bit crazy, maybe. The world says you don't count. The world doesn't understand why we believe in a creator. Why we believe that we can put our faith in a man who died on a cross and rose again the third day, and that opens the portals of heaven that gives us light into our soul. They don't understand that. And many in the world say, we are fools. But once you have the light, once you receive the light, it's like nothing else matters. I don't care what the world thinks, because I have the light. And my responsibility is to share the light. Why should we let our light shine? The second reason is to glorify God. We've mentioned that. Did you know that your purpose here on earth is to glorify God? That's your sole purpose. It's not to glorify self. It's to glorify God. It's not to make a lot of money. It's not to be the best at your business that you can buy. The reason you're here on earth It's to glorify God. That's it. That's your sole purpose. It's to glorify God. Nothing else. He says, let your light shine so that men may see your good works, so that they can glorify your Father in heaven. So then I have to ask a question, what are they seeing? What are they seeing? What do people see when they look at me? What does the world see when they look at you? What do they see? Do they see us living like the world? Do they see us compromising Scripture to fit our own desires? Do they see us living in hypocrisy? Or do they see a people living a life to please the Father? What do they see? Our lives are to glorify the Father. And what I want this year, this next year, is that people see my good works so that they can glorify Him. What are they seeing? The third reason that we need to be light in a dark world is because we may lose the light we have. Look at this passage of Scripture. So in Revelation, first part of Revelation, John is writing a letter to the churches. He talks to the church of Ephesus and he says this in Revelation 2, 4, and 5. Nevertheless, I have this against you. They've done a lot of good works. But he said, this I have against you. You have left your first love. Remember therefore from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. It's kind of scary, isn't it? He's talking to the churches. Did you know that the Lord has brought, collectively, that we are a bright congregation? Collectively, we shine forth tremendous power to the world. But this church in Ephesus, there was a warning, and he said, the warning is this, church, you have left your first love. And I have to ask myself, what have I put in front of my love for the Lord? He says, if you don't repent, I'm going to remove your candlestick. I'm going to remove it so that nobody sees any light coming from you. I believe that there are a lot of churches in these last days who've lost their candlestick, because they've embraced the culture of the world rather than embracing what the Lord says. And there's no light coming from those congregations anymore. Because they're more obedient to their own fleshly desires and more obedient to the world than they are to the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Moses Club, we've been reading in John 14, and several times it says in there, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. I think the church of Exodus, something was going on that their love was not proven to the Father because they were no longer keeping His commandments. Church, I never want our light to go out. And we have to push back the darkness. I don't care what comes at us or comes at you or comes at me. We have to push back the darkness. We have to stand strong for what the Lord has said. We have to be obedient to Him. We have to let our light shine to the world. People are looking to see a difference. So the light does one of two things. It either attracts people to the light, or there are some people who run away from the light. It does one of two things. And you don't know who's going to be attracted, do you? Matter of fact, you think possibly that there are some people that will never be drawn to the light. But then you look in Scripture and we find that Saul of Tarsus was one of those that I'm sure many Christians said, he'll never be drawn to the light. And yet he became Paul the Apostle. You never know that the light, or what the light that you hold is going to draw, or who the Lord is going to draw to Him. John 3:19-21. And the judgment is based on this fact. God's light came into the world. People loved darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light, and refuse to go near it for fear their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light so others can see that they are doing what God wants. I'm sorry, I must not have got that in the overhead. That is John 3:19-21. Here's the nasty thing about the light. Our sins are exposed. And there are some people who choose not to come to the light because they don't want their sins exposed. And they would rather hide from the light, stay in darkness, than allowing the Lord to expose their light, expose their sin, so that they can be free of it. You either love the light or you hate the light. Some people don't want their light or their sins exposed. Do not love the world. Things in the world, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. You're either going to love the world, or you're going to love the Lord. You can't love both. You can't love both. Billy, a Sunday, used to preach a message on straddling the fence. I'm told that Billy's son, he was a very athletic guy. He was a baseball player. And one of his messages would be always, well, not always, sometimes he was outside preaching to a multitude. And I'm told that there was a fence there, and he was preaching on straddling the fence, and every time, and he was just constantly hopping over the fence. The whole time he was preaching, hopping over this fence. If you straddle a fence, you're going to get your britches tore. Okay? You can't straddle the fence. You're going to be there. You're going to be in the light. You're going to be in darkness. And you have to choose where you're going to be. There are those who come out of darkness because they want to be in the light. Listen to this passage of Scripture. It says in 1 Peter 2:9, "But you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So that men may glorify your Father." Again, the question is, what am I doing to cause people to glorify the Father? And what am I doing to bring people out of darkness into the light of Christ? Listen, you were chosen to come out of darkness. God chose you to come out of darkness. But He also chose you to send the light. You were chosen for this. God chose you. God chose you. God chose you for this purpose. If there's ever been a time when this world needed light, today is the day. Today is the day. Don't hide it. Let it shine. So in closing, I want to ask you a question. Are you attracted to the light or to the darkness? Some of you kids wouldn't be here maybe unless your parents brought you. And you're thinking, man, I'd rather be doing anything else but be in a church. It's a boring place. Some of you adults may think the same thing. And you're thinking, when I get old enough, I'm not going to go to church anymore. And you're thinking, you know what? I've got some friends who are doing some things that are not godly. That's what I would like to be doing with them rather than be at church. I'll be glad when I get to make my own decisions about certain things. I remember being there. And you may be thinking today, man, I'm just drawn to the darkness. I'm just drawn to the darkness. I like the darkness. Others of you may be saying, I like the light. I like where the Lord is taking me. And I want more light in my life. Therefore, I'm going to quit hiding the light. And I'm going to begin to share the light I have with others. I want my life to honor God, not myself. I want to live for Christ. You may be here today and you've been in darkness and you say, you know what? I want that light in my life. You can be a chosen generation. You can be a royal priesthood. You can be part of that holy nation. You can come out of the darkness and come to the light by receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. By giving your heart to Him, not just saying a prayer, not just being baptized. A lot of people put their emphasis in, well, I prayed the prayer when I was 7. Well, that's nice. But what have you done since then? The evidence is not in the prayer you prayed. The evidence is in the walk you walk. Don't put your faith in the baptism. Don't put your faith in the prayer. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. And Him alone. Today, you may be here without Christ. Today, you may be in darkness. And you want to say, today, I give my life to Christ. I follow Him. So the invitation today is twofold. Number one, for you as Christians, you're going to say, you're going to take up that mantle and say, I'm going to be a light in a darkened world. And for those of you who don't know Christ today, I want you to respond by saying, yes, I want Christ in my heart. I'm going to pray for you. The worship team's going to come. They're going to be playing. If you need to make a decision for Christ, don't hesitate. The enemy will say, don't make that decision today. You don't have to make that decision today. And the Holy Spirit is drawing you. It's easier to do what the Lord asks you to do when He asks you to do it rather than putting it off. Would you respond to the Lord's invitation today? And you can come up here and pray at the steps. You can come up here and talk to me. I'll pray with you. Whatever the Lord is leading you to do. Would you just say yes to Him? I will be what You'd have me be. Father, I come before You today. And Lord, I thank You for that You have chosen us. That's incredible. That's amazing that You chose us to be the light of the world. That we're a chosen generation. That we're a royal priesthood. That we are chosen to be a holy people, a holy nation. And Lord, You chose us. And Lord, there are others that You want to choose today and that You are choosing, but they have to choose You. And so, Father, today as we come before You, I pray that You would do Your work in our lives. Lord, that we would not hide Your light any longer. We ask these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing.